Hi there. Welcome to episode 328 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I hope your week has gotten off to a great start. Today should be a big day for me. This is the day that I should be making the peak of Mount Whitney and then heading down to Badwater Basin in Death Valley. I'll be going from 14,505 feet above sea level to 282 feet below sea level, the continental U.S.'s highest and lowest points. This has been a goal of mine since I was about 18 years old. My 61st birthday is this month, so I figured I'd better get it done. Time's running out. I hope to let you know in tomorrow's show how I did. If you don't hear from me, send out a search party. Today we're on track one, and so we'll be reading chapters 5 and 6 of 2 Samuel. Let's get to it. By the way, the reading this week is from the Contemporary English Bible. Let's begin. 2 Samuel chapter 5. All the Israelite tribes came to David at Hebron and said, "Listen, we're your very own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul ruled over us, you were the one who led Israel out to war and back. What's more, the Lord told you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be Israel's leader.'" So all the Israelite leaders came to the king at Hebron. King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. He ruled over Judah for 7.5 years in Hebron. He ruled 33 years over all Israel and Judah in Jerusalem. The king and his troops marched on Jerusalem against the Jebusites, who inhabited the territory. The Jebusites said to David, "You'll never get us in here. Even the blind and the lame will beat you back." "David will never enter here," they said to each other. But David did capture the fortress of Zion, which became David's city. On that day, David said, "Whoever attacks the Jebusites should strike the windpipe, because David hates the lame and the blind." That is why people say, "The blind and the lame will not enter the temple." David occupied the fortress, so it was renamed David's City. David built a city around it from the earthen terraces inward. David grew increasingly powerful, and the Lord of heavenly forces was with him. Tyre's King Hiram sent messengers to David with cedar logs, bricklayers, and carpenters to build David a palace. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingship was held in great honor for the sake of his people Israel. After he left Hebron, David married more secondary wives in Jerusalem and fathered more sons and daughters. The names of his children in Jerusalem were as follows: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they all marched up to find him, but David heard of it and went down to the fortress. The Philistines arrived and spread out over the Rephaim Valley. David asked the Lord, "Should I attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" "Attack them," the Lord replied, "because I will definitely hand the Philistines over to you." So David arrived at Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. He said, "The Lord has burst out against my enemies, the way water bursts out." That is why that place is called Baal Perazim. The Philistines left their divine images behind, and David and his men carried them off. Once again the Philistines came up and spread out across the Rephaim Valley. When David asked the Lord, God replied, "Don't attack them directly. Circle around behind them and come at them from in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then attack, for God has attacked in front of you to defeat the Philistine army." David followed God's orders exactly, and they defeated the Philistine army from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Once again, David assembled the select warriors of Israel, 30,000 strong. David and all the troops who were with him set out for Baalah, which is Kiriath-Jearim of Judah, to bring God's chest up from there, the chest that is called by the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, who sits enthroned on the winged creatures. They loaded God's chest on a new cart and carried it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were driving the new cart. Uzzah was beside God's chest while Ahio was walking in front of it. Meanwhile, David and the entire house of Israel celebrated in the Lord's presence with all their strength, with songs, zithers, harps, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. When they approached Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to God's chest and grabbed it because the oxen had stumbled. The Lord became angry at Uzzah, and God struck him there because of his mistake, and he died there next to God's chest. Then David got angry because the Lord's anger lashed out against Uzzah, and so that place is called Perez Uzzah today. David was frightened by the Lord that day. "How will I ever bring the Lord's chest to me?" he asked. So David didn't take the chest away with him to David's city. Instead, he had it put in the house of Obed-Edom, who was from Gath. The Lord's chest stayed with Obed-Edom's household in Gath for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's household and all that he had. King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and everything he has because of God's chest being there." So David went and brought God's chest up from Obed-Edom's house to David's city with celebration. Whenever those bearing the chest advanced 6 steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fatling calf. David, dressed in a linen priestly vest, danced with all his strength before the Lord. This is how David and the entire house of Israel brought up the Lord's chest with shouts and trumpet blasts. As the Lord's chest entered David's city, Saul's daughter Michal was watching from a window. She saw King David jumping and dancing before the Lord, and she lost all respect for him. The Lord's chest was brought in and put in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered entirely burned offerings in the Lord's presence in addition to well-being sacrifices. When David finished offering the entirely burned offerings and the well-being sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heavenly Forces. He distributed food among all the people of Israel, to the whole crowd, male and female, each receiving a loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went back to their homes. David went home to bless his household, but Saul's daughter Michal came out to meet him. "How did Israel's king honor himself today?" she said. "By exposing himself in plain view of the female servants of his subjects like any indecent person would." David replied to Michal, "I was celebrating before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his entire family, and who appointed me leader over the Lord's people, over Israel, and I will celebrate before the Lord again. I may humiliate myself even more, and I may be humbled in my own eyes, but I will be honored by the female servants you're talking about." Michal, Saul's daughter, had no children to the day she died. May God bless the reading of His Word. Well, David is finally king over all Israel. At God's direction, Samuel had anointed him as the future king when he was a shepherd boy of about 12 or 15 years old. And as we read today, he was 30 when God finally put him there. God always keeps his promises, but we never know what his timing is going to be. And upon taking the throne, David decides that the Lord's chest, better known as the Ark of the Covenant, should have a proper home. It had been captured years before by the Philistines, and then brought back to Israel, where for some time it was in the home of Abinadab. Now, there are some passages in Scripture that are hard to understand. This is one of them. Scholars have some ideas, but still some people really struggle with the following scene. First, I'll recap what happened, then I'll give some possible explanations. The ark is loaded onto an ox-drawn cart to make the trip from Abinadab's house to David's city. The two sons of Abinadab, Uzzah and Ahio, went with it. Ahio was in the front to lead the oxen. Uzzah was close behind. Something happened that caused the oxen to stumble, which Uzzah evidently thought threatened to cause the ark to fall. So he put his hand on the ark to steady it. Well, God was angry at that, and he struck Uzzah dead. It's hard for a lot of people to understand God's reaction to Uzzah's actions here, and we're told that David became angry at God for doing this as well. So, what happened? Why did God do it? Here are the thoughts of scholars. First off, when God gave His instructions to the Israelites on how they were to build the ark, He was very clear about the most minute detail, including how it was to be transported, and who was to move it, and who was allowed to touch it. It was never to be put onto a cart, but it was to be carried by Kohathites only. There were two poles that went through two loops on each side of the ark, and these poles were to be placed on the Kohathites' shoulders, bearing the ark between them. And no one but a priest was to touch the ark, because the ark had the very presence of God upon it. Remember, this all happened before the Messiah had come, and only the priests had direct access to God, and only priests could perform the sacrifices that could cover the sins of the people. The ark represented a holy and an awesome, in the very real sense of the word, awesome God. And God had made it very clear how it was to be honored, because it was a reflection on how they were to honor God Himself. So, by putting the ark on the ox-drawn cart, they were all guilty of transgressing God's direct instructions. So why was Uzzah killed? Touching the ark was a direct violation of God's clear instruction. It could be that God saw the condition of Uzzah's heart, that he didn't have the proper attitude toward it. It had been in Uzzah's house, after all, for some time, and maybe he had just become indifferent to it. We must not become indifferent to God. He is God, the creator of all that is, the one who gives us life and sustains us. It could be that Uzzah had a cavalier attitude regarding God's word. He didn't think it was important to sweat the details. Maybe his reaching out to steady the ark reflected a lack of faith on Uzzah's part, that God somehow needed his help. What we might want to draw from this is that we need to pay attention to what God says, and we should do all that we can to be obedient to Him. Yes, He is loving, and He is merciful, but He is also holy, and it is important that we never forget that. It is His holiness and justice that requires payment for sin. It is His love that made a way for me and for you to not have to make the payment for our own sins. It is His holiness and justice and love that required the sacrifice of His Son in my place and yours. Because of His holy and His just nature, He couldn't just overlook the sin. It had to be dealt with. I'm thankful that God made a way for me to escape His wrath, and that He has offered that way, that gift, to anyone who will receive it. What do you think? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 328.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _stevewebb_ with a hashtag in there of LifespringMedia. Also, remember to send a question or two to me that you'd like me to answer during one of the weekend Dog Days of Podcasting shows. Could be a question about the Bible or Christian doctrine or whatever you want to know about. I'll do my best to answer. If you send me a question that gets used on the show, I'll send you a free copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Remember to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. And if you want to check out the other Dog Days of Podcasting shows, just go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. There's some good shows. Tomorrow, I hope to be back with you semi-live and we'll be on track 2. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.